Welcome to Shaped by Scripture, a series designed to help you plant God's Word deep in your heart so it can transform your life. Every episode, we'll walk with you through God's Word, guiding you to memorize, understand, and apply Scripture in a way that strengthens your faith and shapes your daily walk with Christ. Here, we believe that when God's Word takes root in your heart, it changes everything from the way you think, to the way you live, to the way you love others. So take a deep breath, open your heart, and let's journey together as we are shaped by Scripture.
Welcome to the very first episode of Shaped by Scripture podcast. I am Scott Thomas, and I'm grateful that you've chosen to join me for this journey into God's Word and what it means for your everyday life. This podcast was created to walk alongside the Shaped by Scripture material. That is a 2026 Bible verse memory and understanding guide that we've produced. And each week in that plan, we focus on a key passage of Scripture, memorizing it, understanding it in context, finding its theological insight, and applying it personally to our life, and allowing the Holy Spirit to use it to transform our thinking and our living. This podcast is designed to reflect on, build upon, and extend the weekly theme. It's meant to feel more like a conversation than a lecture. I want you to feel like you're sitting right across the table from me with a cup of coffee and an open Bible. So this podcast is not just about information, it's also about transformation. Because the goal isn't just to change what you know, the goal is to change who you are becoming. So in this first theme of our study, Shaped by Scripture, we begin to think about something that may be somewhat uncomfortable to people to talk about, but it really is important that we start there. The first theme that we're talking about in our Shaped by Scripture study is about money. Money matters. And the first week of that theme is treasure reveals the heart. At the center of this theme is a simple but deeply revealing statement from Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 that says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." That one sentence is doing far more work than we often realize. In fact, here's the way I want us to frame this episode, almost like a guiding sentence that we'll keep coming back to. Money leads and the heart follows. Let me say that again. Money leads and the heart follows. Now, that may sound backward to us at first. Most of us assume the opposite, that our hearts lead and that money follows, that we feel something deeply and then we'll invest accordingly. But Jesus flips that assumption on its head. He doesn't say, "Where your heart is, there your treasure will be," but rather he says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be." Money leads and the heart follows. And that insight, it's both clarifying and confronting. Now let's set the context, Matthew chapter 6 and the Sermon on the Mount. To understand why Jesus says this and what's at stake, we need to zoom out just a little bit. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, the verse of the week, it sits in the middle of what we know as the Sermon on the Mount, recorded in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. Matthew's writing primarily to a Jewish audience. He presents Jesus as the long-awaited Messiah, the true King, who is now teaching his followers what life looks like under God's reign. The setting is informal but intentional. Jesus is teaching his disciples with the crowds listening in. And throughout this sermon, he repeatedly addresses a core issue. What does authentic righteousness look like? And he makes some statements throughout the sermon to let us know that authentic righteousness is not performative righteousness. It's not external rule-keeping, but a righteousness that flows from a transformed heart. That's why Jesus talks about anger that's beneath the murder, or lust beneath adultery, integrity beneath oaths, prayer beneath performance, and generosity beneath religious showmanship. And right here in Matthew 6, Jesus turns his attention to money, possessions, and treasure. Not because money is the ultimate issue, but because it is one of the most reliable indicators of the heart. I love that statement. Money is one of the most reliable indicators of the heart. And Jesus must know something about us. He knows that money has a unique ability to compete for allegiance. So let's talk honestly for a moment. What's at risk if we don't get this truth right? What if we misunderstand the relationship between money and the heart? Several things are at stake. First, our spiritual clarity. Money has a way of quietly shaping our priorities, our anxieties, and our sense of security. We all know this. It tends to be one of the greatest problems that Americans at least face today, which is money concerns. We know that marriages are ravaged by money debates or conflicts. Money seems to be at the center, quietly shaping our priorities, our anxieties, and our sense of security. And when unchecked, it becomes a lens through which we interpret life. What feels safe to us? What feels possible? And what feels threatened? Secondly, so first, money, what's at risk is that money can cause disruption to our spiritual clarity. Secondly, what's at risk is our freedom. Jesus goes on in this passage to say that no one can serve two masters. We will either love one and despise the other. Money doesn't just sit neutrally in our lives. It seeks to rule, and that's at risk. We can serve the Lord or we can serve money. But people will tell you that if we serve money, we do not have freedom. And so if we don't understand what Jesus is teaching and how he wants our lives to be shaped as a result of his teaching, we may find that our freedom is at risk. Third is our witness. A disciple whose life looks indistinguishable from the world's relationship with money sends a confusing message about what or who they truly trust. Jesus isn't trying to make his disciples uncomfortable for discomfort's sake. He's trying to protect them because misplaced treasure leads to misplaced trust. Now let's consider the broader context of Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. So this is more immediate. And this is a diagnostic, if you will, between earthly treasure and heavenly treasure. Jesus talks about earthly treasure, things that can be destroyed by moth and rust, things that can be stolen, things that can decay or disappear. Then he talks about heavenly treasure, investments that are secure, eternal, and align with God's kingdom. And right in between those two ideas, he gives us this diagnostic statement. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. In other words, if you want to know what has your heart, follow the trail of your treasure. Not your intentions, not your words, not even your beliefs as you would articulate them. Just follow the money. Because money leads and the heart follows. Now, over the years, I've watched this principle play out again and again. People who invested heavily in their church tend to be deeply invested in their church, not just financially, but emotionally, relationally, and spiritually. People who invest heavily in missions tend to grow passionate about missions. They pray differently, they listen differently, and they care more deeply. People who invest heavily in comfort, consumption, and accumulation often find their hearts slowly shaped around those same priorities. So this isn't a statement of manipulation, it's formation, and Jesus knows it. That's why this theme matters so much at the beginning of our year together. If we want to grow closer to the Lord, if we want to grow more deeply in the things that matter to the Lord, we must invest there because where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. Now, here's where I want to gently but clearly guide you as a pastor and as a fellow disciple. If money leads and the heart follows, then here's the invitation. Invest your money where you want your heart to be. Invest your money where you want your heart to be. That may sound overly simple, but it's a profound biblical principle. If you want your heart more engaged in the local church, invest there. If you want your heart stirred for the nations, invest in missions. If you want your heart aligned with eternal priorities, invest in eternal work. We often wait for our hearts to change before we act. Jesus says, "Act faithfully and your heart will follow." So this isn't about earning God's favor. It's about aligning our lives with what we already confess to believe. Now, let me say something clearly so this doesn't get twisted. Jesus is not saying that money is evil. He's not saying that saving money is wrong. He's not saying that possessions are sinful. What he is saying is that money is powerful. And whatever you place in a position of power in your life will eventually shape you. So the question is not whether money will influence you. The question is how and toward what end. So let me invite you to pause, maybe right now while you're listening to this conversation, and to consider a few questions. Not with guilt, not with fear, just honestly before the Lord, consider these questions. Where is my treasure currently going? Where is my treasure currently going? If I looked at my bank account, if I checked my online app and looked at where my money was going, what would it say? What would it reveal has been shaping my heart? Now, finally, are there areas where God may be inviting me to realign my investments with His purposes? Are there areas where I sense conviction that God is leading me to redirect or to realign my investments? Now, remember, this isn't about perfection. It's about direction. I can't say enough. Stewardship, how we see money, how we use money, how we have money, it's a discipleship issue. It's not about perfection. It's about growing in Christ-likeness. It's about investing in the future, in our future, in the church's future, in the kingdom's future. This is a discipleship matter, so we need to remember it's not about perfection. It's about direction. And what direction are you allowing your money to lead you? Because remember, money leads and the heart follows. So how are you investing, and in what direction is your money leading you and those that you are responsible for? As we wrap up this first episode, I want to encourage you. Jesus doesn't expose our hearts to shame us. He does it to shepherd us. He wants you free. He wants your heart anchored, and He wants your life invested in things that matter. As we begin this year together, week by week, verse by verse, my prayer is that God will use His word to gently but powerfully shape us. Money matters because treasure reveals the heart, and when we invest faithfully, the heart follows. Thanks for listening to this first episode of the Shaped by Scripture podcast. Next week, we'll continue this conversation as we build on what Scripture teaches about money, trust, and discipleship. Until then, stay rooted in the Word and let Scripture shape you.